FM.
Right, yeah, so we're here back. That was, rather rudely to talk over that song there. Leif Erikson with his track 21 Grams. So we are here this afternoon talking about baseball. We've got a couple of guys in from the Essex Redbacks baseball team. Good afternoon, guys. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Just first of all, let's just introduce yourself. Who have we got here today?
Okay, so my name's Vince. I'm the club chairman and manager of the AAA team.
Okay. And
I'm Adam Commons, and widely recognised as their best player.
Brilliant. Why not, Adam? You've got the chance to say that live on radio, so yeah, no one can ever take that away from
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, apart from me, of course.
So, just very very briefly, talk to me a little bit about, or talk to the listeners, a little bit about how you both got involved in the game of baseball.
Well, Adam, go first.
Well, yeah, my story's a bit shorter. Basically, used to play various sports, had a knee injury back in the day, wanted to get into the camaraderie of team sport because I was missing it, and whilst looking for a cricket team, I found baseball, and it seemed like a good fit for me at the time. There was a lot of new people going into the team that I was going to be joining, and I went there and fell in love with it and made lots of great friends that I still have to this day, who I still play with in the same team now to this day.
Don't mind me asking, how long ago?
I've been playing since 2009.
Okay, good. And Vince, yourself, what was your pathway into baseball?
I was born into it. My father was playing before I was born. He was England manager, England coach, England player. Obviously, his team was Thames Board Mills, which is down in Purfleet many, many years ago.
Well, yeah, I know the area.
Yeah, so they got taken over, unfortunately. Basically, I grew up with the sport, started playing at 13. We didn't have any youth teams in, so basically you had to be good. My dad was particularly like that. You had to be good to get in the team. Never looked back, to be fair.
Good. And have you played for yourself any different clubs leading up to Essex?
For me, obviously we started off Thames Board Mills until they to the demise. Quick stint at Basildon, played for Croydon Blue Jays, which we won the national champions with in 1984. And Essex Eagles, as we were called then, which was a team formed from the Chelmsford Judges, funny enough.
Okay, and where's the Redbacks base? Where do they play their games?
Our Triple A team plays at Melbourne Park, and our Single A and all our youth, they play at Barleylands in Billericay.
Okay, you've mentioned the Triple A team. In, I suppose, a simplistic term, what does that denote?
Well, basically, it's the structure of league in baseball. So, much like in football, you've got the Premier League, Championship, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. We would have the NBL, which is the National League, then it would go to AAA, AA, Single A, and that would be the adult structure. And that's not including all the northern teams and leagues in Cornwall we've got now. And it's actually quite divided in terms of league structure now as you get further and further away from the southeast. But for us, yeah, we play in the second tier of British baseball.
Okay, and how many tiers of baseball are there that you guys compete in?
So we compete in Triple A. So we play, last year we went as far as Taunton. Travel pretty much the south of the country. Yeah. That would be our remit. There's seven teams in our league at the moment. So that's our league. And then if you do well, we go to the playoffs and so on and so forth.
Good. And when does the season generally start and end for you guys?
Usually sort of mid-April is the first league games. We train all through the winter now. And the season ends kind of about mid-August. So we have the national finals and some playoffs usually at the end of August. We carry on a little bit, so we have some friendlies afterwards. And in October, we always go to Holland to play a tournament.
Okay, good. And in your time within the sport, how has the approach to sort of training and development of players changed since when you first started out?
I think a little bit. For the national sides, they are more involved now than they ever used to be. There's a lot more youth involved, and there's a lot more coaches. So that's kind of improving. The GB side of it has been very, very good. For local teams, it's pretty much stayed the same. It's guys with a lot of knowledge tend to pass on their knowledge to the youngsters or anyone new to the team.
Okay, and I suppose is there much of a sort of volunteer network around the club that help out at training and game days or match days as well?
Very much so in our team. I mean, the Essex Redbacks, as cliche and corny as it sounds, it's like a big family. It really is. We go back to when the club was formed and we've all known each other. We bring in new people as they want to join and such. But, you know, the same youth coaches, Sean Briscom, who's local to the area, I've known him since we played for Brentwood Stags back in the day. Yeah. And, he's one of the best volunteers we've got. We've got loads of guys in the youth setup doing that. And then, like Vinny said, I mean, myself came over as a, you know, pretty poor player and has just learned from the older and wiser heads like Vinny and guys like Sean and Steve, and they've taught me how to play. And that's a common theme throughout all the teams, the older guys passing down that knowledge, and then they generally stay in as coaching capacities and things like that as well. Good.
And in respect of the more the youth end of the scale, how popular is that? Has that been, or is it becoming more and more popular the more the game sort of develops?
I think as it's been more pushed on the TV, especially with the Major League Baseball thing coming over, that's helping. We are getting more and more youth appear. We had a peak of a couple of years ago, and then exams hit, and obviously the kids sort of dwindle off and start to think about other sports, which is unfortunate. But we have still got a good core of youth, and some of our youth have actually gone on to play up in the top leagues and for the GB system.
Wow. The possibilities are are sort of there for kids to push on. And it's just on the telly as we speak there, the earthquake taking place at the stadium. Hopefully none of that is experienced over here when
I've never had an earthquake yet.
No. There's always a first. Just in terms of boys and girls, men's and ladies teams, do they mix or is there a separate structure for both?
Well, generally in baseball it's male dominated, I'm afraid. You know, it's just one of those things. But we do have a lady that plays for us as well.
Yeah.
We do encourage it. We want more women to be involved in the sport. It's just changing women's attitude towards the sport, to be fair.
Okay.
I think it's generally, as terrible as it sounds, it's almost become sort of like male baseball, women softball.
Yeah.
And there's really no need for that. Like I say, we've got Hannah, who plays in our structure, and she's coming along really well. She only started last year, and you see the improvement constantly.
Good.
And doing really well. When we enter the European tournament in Holland every October, there's a softball tournament as well, and some of them, if they came over and played baseball, they'd kick us all out of the team. We wouldn't get near it. They're, you know, far superior to we are.
So on a typical match day or a game day, what sort of time do you start and how does the sort of day or the game develop for people that are taking part?
We always play two games, so it's 2 7-inning games instead of nines. Mm-hmm. The reasoning for that is to give a lot more baseball and get more pitchers in the game. They deem that there's not enough people that throw in the UK pitching wise. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a development way, and it starts at 12 and can go for a couple of hours per game, or it can go a lot longer, depending on obviously the quality of the baseball and the leagues. Some of the lower leagues have gone on for a very long time.
The game starts at 12. Generally, we start at about 9.
Yeah,
setting up the fences.
There's a lot more.
There's a lot involved.
Vince loves cutting grass, so he gets out there, and we have guys who love raking, and then others who generally, like me, being quite tall, get the job of setting up the big fence. Because I'm the only one who can hammer it down.
Brilliant. Yeah, so, and a bit sort of naive. Do you have, obviously, the diamond painted out, or is it just cut into the grass?
Yeah, the diamond's already painted out by the groundsman. We've got permanent backstops, which obviously helps. They were put up quite a few years ago. Yeah. We had to raise £6,000 for our one.
Wow.
Fairly expensive.
Yeah.
But it saves a lot of aggro and putting it up every time.
Yeah. And is there a pitcher's mound, as you said, Sally?
Yeah, pitcher's mound. It's not a full cutout. Right. Some diamonds in the UK are full cutout, as you see on the TV.
Yeah.
Ours is base cutouts, and obviously the batter's circle and the pitcher's mound.
Okay. So is there one single thing, or is there a number of single things that has grasped your enthusiasm to stay, or to approach the sport and to stay in it as well? What are the 3 things that you would say is there for everyone to sort of enjoy about the game?
Well, I mean, I always used to love cricket, and the the sort of the pageantry of cricket, like the fact that you're in a team structure, but it is very much a one-on-one thing, you versus the pitcher when you've got the bat in your hand. And I love that, because you can raise yourself up in the moment. If you fail, someone else has got your back. And for me, what kept me playing was ultimately it was the people I met, and everyone had that sort of shared bond. Some people were good, some people were bad, but everyone was in it together, and it really was sort of like a team ethic, and I loved that. That's what kept me in. That's what drew me. I mean, initially it was exercise, but then it turned out to not be exercise, because I say I played for Brentwood, but I really didn't. I was a substitute at Brentwood, so that was how it went for me. I think I like the fact that I could learn on the job as well. Good. Sort of just, you know, and that's really encouraged in baseball. Like, people, you can get people in who maybe don't have the ability, but the best way to learn, you can train and train and train, but best way to learn is to play games. And that's what we've tried to infuse at the Redbacks. That's why we created the second team, so these people could play and get involved, and I'm all for that. And that's what brought me in personally.
And for you, Vinnie, what's kept you passionate about the sport?
Being born into baseball, it's in my blood. And it's such a wonderful sport, that the fact is it's a complicated sport. So there's a lot of things going on, and I like that. I don't like to be bored when playing a sport. So the fact that I'm still pretty good at it as well, I like to actually pass that knowledge on.
Is he still?
Yeah, I'm beginning to, but there you go.
We don't like to say the terms like put out to pasture and things like that. That's generally frowned upon, but no, he's to be fair, Vinny's probably still one of our best players.
Good. Which is
encouraging for guys like me who are approaching 40 and thinking, you know, in 35 years, oh no, sorry, like 17, I might still be able to play, you know.
And obviously the fact that I played for GB for 7 years, so it's one of those things that when I was younger, I was aspiring to do that and got to that point.
And I mean, positions wise, what do you play at, or where do you play on the pitch?
Well, generally I'm a catcher. This has always been my best position, but I can pitch as well. I tend to hit a few batters, but everybody in the leagues know me for that, so it's not a problem.
He is known for it, in fact. It's like in baseball terms, there's a feat that a pitcher can accomplish called a no hitter, which is in the major leagues means you don't allow a base hitter. To us at the Redbacks, a no hitter means Vince went a whole game without hitting a bat, which is slightly different. Myself, no, I've pretty much played everywhere, just sort of trying to find my spot. But I've discovered that the best spot for me is the outfield, so that's where I play nowadays.
Good. And in terms of kit wise, is it helmets, pads when you bat in? So is all the health and safety issues that are in play?
I mean, we have to wear full helmets, so that means earpieces either side. In the States, you'll find that the helmets have only got an earpiece one side.
Yes.
But in British baseball, we have to have both. Yeah. The bats are BB Core specified, so they've got a certain amount of springiness. No alley bats, which is an unusual thing.
Yes, that was my next question. I'll say, what bats do you play with?
The British baseball want us to use wood bats. So we use composite, usually, because they last a lot longer, generally, until you break one, and then you realise £110 gone west.
Ouch.
Ouch. Obviously, catchers get used to normal face mask, leggings, chest protector, etc. Feet-wise, is the most important, is cleats, which are spiked, like flat-bladed spikes.
Yep. Similar to cricket shoes, or
I mean, they tend to be more points.
I think, to be honest,
houser blades, which tend to cut into the grass a bit easier and give you a bit more grip.
They're like football blades, but rather than being moulded rubber / plastic, whatever they're made of, to be honest, just metal, and they're thin. And so when you're playing on the dirt or in the, you know, you're running, they'll just give you that grip, because obviously there's a lot of quick shimmy turn and moves in baseball where you're diving back to bases, or you're running and you need to get down. You need to have that grip, otherwise you'll slip.
Okay.
Especially when you're running, if you're running the bases, basically if you're running towards first base and you go towards second, you're literally doing an almost 45 degree turn at full pelt.
Yeah.
So you have to have a severe
grip. You can't run past the base to catch up. You've got to turn.
You've got to try and turn and still
turn
run at speed.
Points, didn't you?
Kind of,
Okay, well, great introduction to the sport. Just play a few adverts, and then we'll come back and speak about the London series and how people can get involved in the sport. If that's all right.
Brilliant. Cool. Thank you.
You're local St Francis Hospice are calling on you to Go Orange in support of patient care. To be part of the Go Orange campaign, all you have to do is raise money for this fantastic cause. Why not hold an orange-themed coffee morning, put on a quiz, or run a half marathon? There are so many ways you can get involved. For more ideas and information, visit sfh.org.uk/goorange.
Are you in a relationship that has broken down? F. Barnes solicitors have been providing family law advice for almost 50 years. F. Barnes are supportive, friendly solicitors who recognise that during one of the most stressful times of your life, you need someone in your corner. To arrange a free consultation with step-by-step guidance to ensure you get the best outcome for you and your family, call 01708 745 183. F. Barnes. We're here to help.
If I tell you that I love you.
Unconditional by the Solsters featuring Marvin. Available now. Get it on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, Napster, Pandora, Angami, KKBox, and YouTube. Yeah, everywhere.
Come on, let's give it a try. Give it a try, 'cause I...
Has your double glazing steamed up? Cloudy to Clear can save your windows. We can save you money, energy and time by replacing the pane, not the frame. We're a Which trusted trader and all glass units come with an amazing 25-year guarantee. So why not go to cloudytoclear.com to book a free 20-minute no-obligation quotation. Cloudy to Clear, replacing your failed double glazing.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix.
Right, yeah, so after just a quick drink, we're now resuming our chat on baseball. So if anybody did miss, shame on you if you did. But, yeah, there was a quite an insignificant ball game last weekend, wasn't there?
Yep. Two ball games.
Yeah, probably... Is it fair to say two of the biggest teams in baseball across the globe?
Pretty much the most famous rivalry between any two US baseball teams. Yeah.
So are you guys were involved in any capacity in
watching?
Watching. Behind the bar or the food as well.
There were volunteer programs. Yeah. You could go and help MLB. And there was a few people around that I know that went and done things where it was just going to some of the ballparks to help to the public train or play to shepherding people around.
And had you both seen games of that scale before?
Yeah, I've watched
never,
plenty.
No, sorry, beg pardon me. I'd never seen a live baseball game in my life.
Right.
And to be in front of one that I think they said it's the biggest crowd they've ever had for a game.
Yeah.
Like, because the stadiums in America are generally smaller. It was marvellous.
Yes, I think there was some issue, wasn't there, with some of the people that come over to play, that the stadium was perhaps quite small, but to me it looked equally as
it was
difficult to get the ball
about 50 foot short in left and right field, and probably similar centre field to be fair. So there was a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, the first game, was it
17-14?
13. Unprecedented, wasn't it?
I
think the commentators are saying, look, guys, don't get used to this. It doesn't happen like this every
but
time.
As a first spectacle into the UK, or into Europe, actually, it was perfect for MLB.
Oh, I couldn't go
because it was exciting. If it had been one-run ball game, you know, really low score, it would maybe be a little bit boring for the average person that doesn't know about baseball, so it was quite good.
Yeah, I suppose the analogy would be like, if you tuned in and watched Test cricket without ever having watched it and you picked a bad game, you'd be a bit... But if you'd watched the 2005 Ashes, which was fantastic, it would lure you straight in because it was excitement from bell to bell. And that excitement in baseball, I mean, I love those low-scoring games. I love watching them. The tension for me is there in the low-scoring games, but the excitement for a new fan and also for the spectacle of a stadium, home runs, big hits, it really did have it all. And it was, and like Vinny said, two of the biggest teams. I mean, I think the Yankee franchise, that actual, even that logo is like worth more money than, you know, people think Real Madrid. It's not even close. that's worth so much money.
That's interesting.
And it's just so big. And to get those two teams over was a bit of a coup as well, I think.
And over the two games, 118,000.
Wow.
In the stadium.
And I suppose the stadiums in America don't get near those numbers, do they?
No, they don't.
I'm pretty sure the Los Angeles Dodgers have the highest capacity, and that's maybe just clearing 50. So right. To play in front of 60. Yeah.
And it was a sellout as well both days, wasn't it?
Both days, yeah.
There was to be honest, there was only a few seats here and there. And a lot of those were the corporate ones where the expensive seats. Yeah. That was it.
And from your guys' perspective, a great game, great day out.
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you get both games or...?
I only went to the Saturday.
Yeah.
I went to both, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. but we were fortunate on the Friday, British Baseball were invited by Major League Baseball to come watch the pre-tournament... the workout, if it was what it's called.
Oh, wow.
So there was roughly about 3,500-4,000 people from various walks of British baseball and softball and various other people. So we had the stadium to ourselves, which is amazing, to be fair, because, you know, we was there for 5 hours.
Yeah, and you got to see the batters up close.
Yeah.
And not even just that, like when you watch it on the television, you see the sportscasters on ESPN and Fox and things, and they were... You know, we're right there. I mean, we were right next to the Red Sox dugout, and the players were.
Brilliant.
And it was great to see that. It really, for me, that really ramped up my excitement level. Like, oh my God, it's real.
Yeah.
Because I had a sinking feeling it would be like when they first brought the NFL over. They'd done it as exhibition games, and they were generally they were good, but they weren't as well received as when you dive in, you make it an actual game. And to bring over a regular season game, you know, both teams really want to win as well. Mm-hmm. It's not like they just were going to go, oh, you have one, we have one, share the fans, blah, blah. They wanted it, and they didn't hold back their best players either. I mean... Yeah.
And I certainly come across, watching on the telly, you certainly got that feel that even that first game, the scores were racking up, there was still that competitiveness, especially towards the last innings.
Oh, absolutely.
They were still trying to get those last... I think at one point the bases were loaded and it just didn't quite work out in the end, and it just fizzled out to win for the Yankees.
Well, so there was a part of me, even though it was... I mean, because it was... very long in the first game, they said it was 3 minutes shy of being the longest ever 9-inning game.
Yeah,
that might be too long to some people. To me, it wasn't long enough. I mean, you know, it was fantastic.
Apart from worrying about the trains,
But then the second game, it was probably 4 hours 24 minutes. I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was that point where the Red Sox had clawed it back and they were within four runs, bases loaded, two out, and you can't get more excitement level in baseball than that. That is the pinnacle, because you're just willing the guy to hit a grand slam. But then I was surrounded by Yankee fans who were baying for the strikeout.
Because you're all mixed in terms of standings, so that's
and it was really
nice.
Cool. I mean, we had lots of Americans and Canadians come over as well.
Good.
And it was nice to see that mix, and everyone, you know, there was no trouble. It was just a lovely day.
Everyone wanted to chat.
Yeah.
It was just crazy. Yeah. As soon as they started talking, and we was up there in our Red Bay shirts, so they knew we was playing baseball.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, you know, I'm going to have a chat with you. And like, by the end of the day, I was hoarse. I couldn't speak.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And hopefully that will generate a bit of interest for you guys on a local level. And like you said, you were speaking before that, you know, your various sort of social media accounts have had an uplift.
Yeah, they have,
In views and presence. That's amazing.
And people turn up even to last Thursday's training session.
Yeah.
We had like some guys turn up, new guys, and they were like, oh yeah, I saw it on BT Sport and I really enjoyed it and wanted to get involved, and you're a local team, and that's great for us.
Good.
What an advert.
Obviously, on that subject, if anyone's listening and they are interested in joining the Redbacks, how would people get in touch, or where would they go to?
So if you search for Essex Redbacks Baseball Club on Facebook or essexredbacks.co.uk.
Okay.
Send us a message. It's like myself and Vinny generally, and Sean, who's the single A manager and youth coordinator. We're the ones who sort of accept the messages and we'll reply. We always reply. If you want to come down, you're a bit shyer about social media, shall we say. We train on Thursdays at Melbourne Park in Chelmsford, where the athletics track is, and everyone's free to come down.
And game days are generally when?
Sundays.
Sundays we play the single A team, like we say. They play home games at Barleylands. We play again at Melbourne Park, where our home diamond is.
Unfortunately, we've only got one home game left this season. We had all our home games at the beginning of the season, which is unusual. So we're away for about 3 weeks, and we got one home game and then away again.
Yeah. Right. So travelling wise, is it down to you guys?
Car share, usual stuff. Yeah.
We carpool. We tend to help the environment as best we can.
Yeah.
And your pocket. And your pocket.
Yeah.
And do you think we've got a couple minutes to go? Do you think the English game will ever reach the heights in some form of where the American game sort of sits?
That will only ever change if we can get baseball into schools.
Right.
Now, Major League Baseball have announced that they're going to do an initiative again, whether it will work or not, is trying to get more and more schools to adopt, at least at the youngster age, some baseball.
Yeah.
And the problem with it, that is the schools are quite negative towards changing from football, cricket, rugby, usual sports. But if it grows and we get more televisation, I think it will happen.
Do you think there will ever be a televised series of English baseball?
I think what would help is like Tottenham purpose building their stadium, so they will have NFL games over there. And I think long term the plan is to move an NFL team to London. Now that wouldn't work in baseball because they play every day, but certainly you could say to a team who play on the East Coast and aren't well supported in the States, like Miami or Tampa or something, play 10 games a year in London, you could really generate a fan base for them and grow the game like that. And I think until something like that happens, and it was sold out, and it sold out very quickly, and it was rammed, and everyone had fun. When you have that, you know you could have more, and people will go for it, like they do with the American football.
Okay, guys, it's been great talking.
Brilliant.
Learned so much, and I hope guys out there have. We're going to break for the news, but thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.